afternoon. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. It's good to have you come on again and listen. By all means, reach out to us if you get the opportunity to. You'll have all the info available to you at the beginning. We haven't done the actual video live broadcast. We got some awesome things happening. Things are changing. And so right now we're just going to do the audio podcast, or whatever other names they go by. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. It's tonight for me. It's any time of day for you. So this is Faith Conquers, and this is part two. The first part, we were talking about David and the faith that he had when he encountered Goliath, and how it was a conquering kind of faith, and all those different aspects of it there. So if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, you're probably going to go back, listen to that one, and then come and listen to this one. All I'm doing with this is building on top of that. And this particular one is coming out of Romans chapter 8, 28 through 39. So we might end up getting through this one a little quicker than the last one, but we shall see. All right, so Romans chapter 8, 28 through 39, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. This means the Son is the oldest amongst the vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like Him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, He called us to Himself and transferred His perfect righteousness to everyone He called. And those who possess His perfect righteousness, He co-glorified with His Son. 31. So what does all this mean? If God is determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved His love by giving us the greatest treasure, the gift of His Son. And since God freely offered Him up as a sacrifice for us all, He certainly won't withhold from us anything else He has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be His? God Himself is the judge who issued His final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the Anointed One, for He gave His life for us, and even more than that, He conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at His right hand. So how could He possibly condemn us, since He is continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's Anointed One? Absolutely no one, for nothing in the universe has the power to diminish His love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and Heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for Your sake, God. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and His demonstrated love, our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I am convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. All right. So that's what we got. Let's go through and pick it apart, open it up a little bit more. All right. Because this is all about digging a little deeper. All right, so right off the bat, verse 28. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. Praise the Lord. So we're called, and our lives are continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan. When you think about something that's woven together, you think of something that's strong, that's not easily torn apart, that overlaps, intertwine, interlocks, and that's kind of how our life is with God. And not only is it like that with God, but when you're going through and you're trying to fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for your life, a lot of times your life is going to end up being intertwined with other people's lives. In all reality, I shouldn't say that a lot of times. It's just the fact of the matter. Your life is woven in with other people's. See, God didn't create us to be alone and to go out in the bush and we just go there and we praise the Lord all live long day and we're going to wait till he comes back. No, that's not what the Bible says. Our lives are meant to be intertwined with other people's lives. Now, for some people, it'll be getting married, and other people, it won't be getting married, and for some people, it's going to be having families and kids. For others, it won't. Other times, you're going to just engage people in church, and you're going to build relationships in church. In all reality, all of those things intertwine together to make up the kingdom of God. So your life is going to be intertwined with other people's lives. But here's the cool part. The cool part is that your life is actually intertwined with God's life, with the life of God. Your life's intertwined with Jesus. Your life's intertwined with Holy Spirit. And now all that's woven together. And I got my fingers all crossed up here, not that anybody can see it, but and it makes a nice, tight fabric that nothing can get through it. It's, you know, in the ancient times, it was called chain mail. And it was all these little metal rings, but they were all linked together. And in a sense, they were woven together, okay? And when they went into battle, it was very difficult for things to get through there. If your life is woven together with other people's lives, if your life is woven together with God's life. If your wife's woven together with your wife, okay, then praise the Lord. I'm learning how to talk as I'm doing this. If your life is woven to, see, it's because I have an L and W right next to each other. That's why I keep twisting them up. Life is woven together with God. And with other people, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit. Your life is just like that chain mail. It's all nice and linked together, and nothing's going to be able to get through it. And what's that do? It protects you. It makes you more than a conqueror. Okay? So, and what's it doing? You're woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. So, in God's perfect plan, it's going to bring good into your life, right? And we've been called to fulfill his divine purpose. For he knew us before we were born and destined us from the beginning to share in the likeness of his son. Now here's where a lot of people get confused. It's like, well, some people, they're just going to be called and they're going to be following God. And other people won't. See, but the reality of it is this. That God created people and he wants everybody to be part of the plan. See, everybody has this perfect plan for God's life. He knows the choices that we'll make and everything, but the free will is still there to choose. At any given time, you could change it just because you have the free will. So God predestined every single person on the planet to have the plan and purpose of God in their life, to fulfill their life. But not everybody chooses that plan and that purpose. People make their own decisions. God doesn't force anybody into heaven. So, because a lot of people will get hung up on the predestination of everything and be like, well, maybe I'm just not predestined for that. No, you are predestined for it. It's up to you whether you're going to choose to follow in that pathway or not. That's the joy of being a Christian, is that no matter what, we always have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose whether we're staying with God or we're going to walk away from God. Wisdom says stay with God. All right. So, just wanted to touch on the born and predestined part there. Let's see. Destined from us the beginning to share in the likeness of his son. So you're destined in the beginning to share in the likeness of Jesus. This means the son is the oldest of a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. So when you become a Christian, you become part of a big, vast family. This is why in like old time Pentecost, I mean even Baptists all across the board, you called somebody brother or sister so-and-so. You don't hear it too much anymore unless you go to some older churches. But you'll hear, oh, hey, brother so-and-so. Hey, sister so-and-so. And that's because you're part of a family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. All right? And what's it say here? This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Who will become just like him? So that's going to show that there's a constant change, there's a constant transition that's coming into your life, that you're going to be more and more like Christ with each passing day, as you get closer to him, as you get on here, you dig deeper into the Word, that you're going to get closer and closer to who God is, and you're going to become more and more like who he is. We will become just like him. In other words, you don't start out just like him. You start out where you're at, and as you keep following him, you get woven in tighter, you get closer to who he is, and you become more and more like him. And here's the reality. If your life isn't looking like Jesus' life, then maybe you should ask God what needs to get changed in your life. See, a lot of times we're always looking outward. Who needs to change around me for God to be the biggest in my life? I mean, that's kind of a silly way of thinking. Who all needs to change around you? Who needs to change in you? You need to shut up and get out of the way. It's your life that needs to change. It's your life that has to reflect Christ more. And the reality of it is this: as your life looks more and more like Jesus, as your life reflects the life of Jesus, it's going to get into other people's lives. Because the reality is the Holy Ghost, he moves. He touches people's lives. Think about it. How did you even get saved in the first place? Some of you might be listening and you're not saved yet. You'll find out in the end. How'd you even get saved in the first place? Because you heard the word, Holy Spirit moved in your life, and it caused you to get saved. So there's always some type of movement going on with Holy Spirit. All right, I'm gonna keep moving. So we become just like him. That's what our lives should look like. Look like his. And if your life doesn't, then that's the things that need to change. If you look at the church, right now. Does it look like what Jesus is doing? Some churches, yes. Some churches, no. But the reality is we should all be on the same page, doing the same thing. Maybe different in different cultures, but you're still accomplishing the same mission. You're still getting the same task done, even in different cultures, because people are still people. The Bible works all across the world. So no matter what, you can apply here in the United States, you can apply it in Africa, in South America. You name a country, the gospel will work there the same way, because it's geared toward people, and people are people, no matter where you go. Just got little different culture variances. And the Lord will show you how to break through that. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So become just like him. 30. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he's called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. So his perfect righteousness is transferred over to you. That's where, you know, you've heard that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you have, as a Christian, okay, see, this is where you start getting that victory and that conquering mindset. That as a Christian, you actually have God's righteousness. And because you have his righteousness, You can think like Jesus thinks. You can do like Jesus does. Jesus even said, the same things you see me do, you'll do in greater. So if he says that we're able to do it, then why wouldn't we be able to do it? Because you have the righteousness of God. So no longer do you have the sin nature in your life. You've actually are a conqueror over that sin nature. And because you're a conqueror over that sin nature, you can walk in the victory above sin. You don't have to go back to what the old things were in your life anymore. The mistakes that you made, you don't have to go back to those. You can only move forward. I think it's pretty awesome. Maybe I'm just excited about it. All right. So, he transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone that he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his Son. So, not only that, but you get to carry the glory of God. As a Christian, you know, sometimes for Christians, it's like, why are you happy all the time? Why do you have a pleasant disposition? You know what? It's really nice to be around you. Any number of those things. Every time you come around, I just get happier. Doesn't matter what kind of day I'm having. And the reason that is because it's the glory of God that's in your life. And because of this verse right here. Everyone he's called, and those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his Son. So as Jesus has been lifted up and glorified, you get lifted up and you get glorified with him. You're not taking his glory. You're just sharing it with him. And that's what causes people to want to know more about it. Now you got to ask yourself, does my life reflect that? Or when I come around, is it everybody like, I got to go do anything else? Because you're fixing on sucking the life out of me. If that's the case, if you're the person that nobody wants to be around and everybody suddenly has anything else to do, then there's something that needs to change in you, not them. Here's a quick little tip for everybody listening and watching and here. If everybody you encounter, oh wow, that's going to be pleasant. If everybody you encounter is always the problem, the reality of it is this: they're not the problem, you are. If every relationship you have is always falling apart because people are mean to you or whatever else you say, they're not the problem, you are. You're the one that's actually causing the problem. See, that's the kind of world we live in, that selfish world that's always looking outward, and it's always somebody else's fault. It's never my fault. It's not me. It's them. They did this to me, and this is why I think this way and that way. No, 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 no. You're the jerk. If everybody else is always the problem, they're not the problem. You are. So, just a little tidbit of information there for you. So what does all this mean? Verse 31. If God is determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. All right. So there's nothing that can stand against you. See, sometimes the things that will actually help your growth is a little bit of opposition. When opposition comes, it's not a time to run away, throw your hands up in the air, crying, yelling, and needing badly to have someone call a wambulance for you. Okay? That's the time to actually press into God. When opposition comes, when people come up against you, Jesus said that people are going to come against you. Just get that settled now. But when the opposition comes, it's not a time to be like, oh, no. Ugh. But instead, turn it around. Flip it on its head. For me, it's like, no matter what comes against me, I always want to move the opposite direction of what my knee-jerk would be. If knee-jerk would be to punch somebody in the face, I probably need to move in the opposite direction. Okay? And then that's how you can end up getting a victory over something. Because you got to realize that in this verse right here, it says, nothing can ever stand against us. So if nothing can ever stand against us, and we know that God knows the end from the beginning, then we know that we're already in victory. It's just a matter of time before you see it happen with your own two eyes. See, that's where conquering faith comes into place. Conquering faith comes into place and says, no, I see what's happening right now, but this isn't the reality, because the Bible says that there's nothing that can stand against me. And God proved his love by giving his greatest treasure, his son. And since he's offered him up as sacrifice all, he certainly won't withhold anything else from me. So I know that I know that I know that the victory is mine. There's an old Pentecostal song, Victory, Victory Now Is Mine. We sang it a lot. And because it's the truth of the matter, that victory is yours. Victory is here. Victory is now. The Bible says that we go from glory to glory. So if you're in a time where it seems like you're not going from glory, don't wallow in everything while you're there. Say to the Lord, Lord, your word says this and this ain't right. It's not lining up with going from glory to glory. If there's anything in me that needs to be changed, Lord, change it. Because I know that you've made me to be somebody that's victorious. I know that you've made me that nobody can stand against me because you're with me. I know that I've been created in the image of Christ. I know that I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know that I am a son or a daughter, whichever you may be. There's only two. And it's not a pick and choose what you want to be. Just throwing that out there. So you know that you are these things. You know that you have the mind of Christ. Since you have all of those things, then you know that you're the one that's meant to be in victory. If there's something in your life that needs change, ask the Lord to reveal it. And then here's the other part. Change it. The Bible says that the willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. So that's blessing, right? To eat the good of the land means you have to have a crop that's blessed. You have to have good water. You have to have good animals and everything. Looking from a farming perspective. So if you're going to eat the good of the land, like the wealth of the land, then there's a willingness and an obedience that has to be there. Sometimes people are obedient, they go and do, but their heart's not in it, and they're not willing. They're like, I hate this so bad, but I'm doing it, Lord, because you said so. No, you're not going to eat the good of the land because you didn't have the willingness there. It's the willingness and the obedience that will cause you to eat the good of the land. So there may be things that need to get changed in your life when you come up against opposition. Sometimes when you're just doing things for the Lord, you encounter opposition. And there might not be anything that needs to change in your life. The only thing you need to keep doing is keep fighting the good fight of faith. And the good fight of faith is the fight that knows that you've already won. And that you're going to see the victory as long as you don't give up. That's what faith does. Faith keeps listening and following the plan of God, keeps listening to the Word, keeps understanding the Word, and knows that you already won. That's what faith does. Faith looks at discouragement when it comes and walks right over it. Depression, sadness. The Bible says that though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. You're not meant to stay sad. You're not meant to stay defeated. You're not meant to stay miserable. You know that in the Old Testament, the priest that served in the temple weren't even allowed to serve in the temple if they were depressed? Because God don't want none of that nonsense around him. He don't want the sad sacks around them. The Bible says that in God's presence is fullness of joy. So you can come to God and be sad, and as you spend time in his presence, you can come out with joy. Because there's no other way. You can't get in the presence of the Lord and not come out changed or happy. If you're still the same way, then you never entered into the presence of the Lord. You just ascended in your mind. And that's it. All right. So he won't withhold anything else he has to give. So who then, verse 33. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen and loved to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued the final verdict over them, not guilty. So again, this is the getting settled in your mindset that you're free from sin. That a religious people hate hearing this stuff. That because they want to be a sinner saved by grace. Look, you're done sinning. God says you're not guilty. You are free from sin. You don't have to sin. Can you sin? Sure, you can. Because the free will never goes away. So you can sin. But the thing is, you don't have to. And that's the choice that you have. It's like, you know what? That guy made me mad. Because the Bible says, be angry and sin not, right? That guy made me really mad. I'm going to choose not hit him upside his head with a baseball bat right now. Because that's what I really want to do. Lord, I thank you that I'm not going to hit him upside the head with a baseball bat. So you've just chosen not to sin. To get angry about it and want to hit somebody upside the head with a baseball bat. And granted, I'm being extreme here. But you apply it however you would apply it. To get angry is not the sin. To carry it out would be the sin. I mean, you can have the thought run through your head and then say, Lord, forgive me that I just thought about hitting him upside the head with a baseball bat. And the Lord will forgive you. And then you, as long as you're not carrying out going and hitting them upside the head, then you'll be all right. And that's where you have to realize where sin's at and where temptation is. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to carry out the temptation. Amen? Amen. So who then is left to condemn us? 34. Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us, even more than that. He conquered death and now is risen, exalted, and thrown by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph? So you pray, right? I hope you do. You better be. So you're praying. And not only are you praying, but Jesus is praying too. He's praying for you. He's constantly interceding to God for you. And then not only that, but when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you got Holy Spirit praying the perfect will of God. He's praying for you. So that's three of you. Three of you joining and touching on a thing. You, Jesus, and Holy Spirit all praying. And guess what? You're the one that ends up getting prayed for. You're the one that's seeking to do the will of God. That's prayers that Jesus and Holy Spirit get behind. I think it's pretty awesome that you have them praying for you. So you know that the testimony of two or three witnesses, that's what the Bible says, is legit testimony, my paraphrase. So you know that Jesus is praying, Holy Spirit's praying, you're praying, then you can count those things as done. Do you see why there's victory in a Christian's life? Why a Christian's life can be walked out in victory all the time? Persecution, yes. Because I know somebody's going to be like, yeah, what about persecution? Persecution, yes. But persecution never stopped the church. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So if that's the case in the persecution, and you still have the victory even over the persecution. Jesus was persecuted. There was a couple times they tried to kill him. And the last time they did because he laid his life down, not because they took it from him. It's the same thing for your life. You lay it down, not let anybody take it from you. You have a choice to stand and to stand firm and to speak boldly. Because Jesus, every time he spoke, the Bible said that they listened to him because he spoke as one having authority. You can speak as one having authority, regardless if you got a meek and mild personality that doesn't like to talk. You can speak as one having authority, because he's given you the authority. He's paid for that authority in your life. Me, I'm a mild-mannered kind of guy. I always say I'm like Clark Kent. Clark Kent was Superman. Because of Jesus, I get to be Superman. But I got the Clark Kent personality, just kind of mild, don't really talk too much. I do a little more listening than talking. You learn a lot about people that way. But just quiet, mild-mannered, always taking things in. But when it comes time to speak on the Bible, speak about the Word of the Lord, speak life into people, then it's a whole nother ballgame for me. That's when Holy Spirit shows up, he takes over and starts saying what he needs to say. And that's how I want to be. Yielded to speak out whatever he wants to say and not my own thing. And I can always tell when I say my own thing, it doesn't flow. All right. So he's praying for you. So you know when you pray that he's praying. You know that when you pray, Holy Spirit's praying, especially when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important to be full of the Holy Ghost and be able to pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit and you're by yourself. You want to study that out, you study it out on your own. I'll talk about it some other time, or I may have even already taught on it. But praying in the Holy Spirit is a gift that God offers up. So if it's there, why not just take it and pray in the Holy Spirit? And then you know you're praying the perfect will of God. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. So Jesus is continually praying for your triumph. Who would ever separate us from the endless love of God? 35. God's anointed one. Absolutely no one. Nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love. Troubles, pressures, problems. So right there, this is everything you can encounter in life. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. Okay, what about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder the omnipotent God, the omnipotent love of God. Even though it's written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Ding, forgot to turn my phone down. Alright, so there's nothing. Everything in life that you could possibly encounter, none of it takes away the love of God. So no matter what you got coming against, you know, right here, right now, whatever's coming up against your life, whatever it may be, you know that in this moment you can turn to the love of God. You can get into his presence and experience him. And know that he hears you. Why? Because like a good father who loves his kids, he likes to hear what they got to say. That's why every time I tell people about praying, I'm like, pray with your voice out loud. God gave you a voice. He wants to hear what you got to say. And he wants to listen to you. And if you know he's listening to you, you know that he loves you, you know that he cares about you, you know that he can bring change in your life. But if you're coming to him and you're crying, why me, why me, why me? That's somebody who doesn't know and understand and realize that God loves them. Instead, come to him, Lord, this is what's happening. I don't like it. Be honest with him. I don't like it, and I know it's not your will for my life. Because you say that I'm more than a conqueror. So I thank you. You show me how to be a conqueror. That's just being vulnerable for the Lord. That's telling him exactly what's going on in your heart. That's somebody that God can work with. Amen. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. See, this is where I always say, if it doesn't line up with what the Word says, then that's the lie. If what you're encountering doesn't line up with what the Bible says about you being more than a conqueror, then what you're coming up against is actual lie. Don't get me wrong. Very real. Very real to you. But it's a lie. Because the devil's a liar, right? And the Bible is the truth. So if it's not in here, it doesn't line up with the Word, then it's a lie. Amen. And you can't even say, oh, I'm just struggling like Job for the last 30 years. No, Job did it for a year and a half. You better get you something together. We triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors and has demonstrated love, our glorious victory, over everything. So you got victory over what? Over some things? Over most things. Over 50% of the things. Maybe 25% of the things. That's what it means, right? No. Over everything. That's pretty awesome. Lord, your word says that I'm a victory. I am victory over everything. Now, 38. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles. There's life's troubles again, even death. And Jesus raised people from the dead, and people are still raising people from the dead. So death isn't even enough to hold on. Life's troubles, fallen angels, that's demons, or dark rulers in the heavens. More demons, devils. The devil himself. He can't whip you. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. Keep in mind, nothing in our present and future circumstances. It doesn't mention the past in there. Well, my past. You hear that from people. Well, my past. This happened in my past. Yeah, that's good. It's in your past. Unless you got a time machine or unless you're God, you're not going back to change it. So leave the past in there. Live in the present and keep moving toward the future. The Bible says that the one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. So if you're going to do, then do. Don't bother looking back and thinking how much you used to suck and how terrible you were. Know that that's not you anymore. The Bible says that all things are made new. Like the old has passed away and all things are made new. Leave your old dead self just dead, right where it was, back there in the past, and don't bother looking back. Keep moving forward. Lot's wife looked back, she got turned into a pillar of salt. Don't bother looking back. You don't need to look to your old life anymore. That person's dead, gone, leave them dead. Amen. Fuego de Dios. Nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. No power above us or beneath, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from the passionate love which God lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Right there closes out the victory. Because he went through and named all the different things that you can encounter. He looked at negative things and showed you how nothing negative holds over the power and love that God has for your life. And the power that can be worked through you for other people's lives. Because if God's living in you, he's obviously working through you. And the miracles, signs, wonders, salvations, everything that you can think of that Jesus did can show up in your life just like it did in his. Because he is living in your life. This is why you're more than a conqueror. No matter what circumstances. See, so many people love to dwell on negative things and drag people down with you because of the negativity and everything. And they get so caught up on focusing on negative, 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 negative that they can't ever live in the blessing of the Lord because they're too focused on what the devil's doing. And that's just crazy. You don't have to think about what the devil's doing. Know that he's doing it. Know what your enemy's doing. He's going to be a jerk. He's the thief that comes to John 10:10. The thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Know that those are the things that he's doing. No need to dwell on it. And know that you already have victory over it because the Bible says so. What's that old kid's song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. That's my best kid's voice. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Why? The Bible tells me so. Simple little kid's song with absolute profound truth. Why do you think sometimes kids have better faith than some adults that you know? It's because they just believe the songs that they sing. And the songs that they sing are absolutely true. The Bible tells me so. How are you going to be able to get through this? The Bible tells me so. That's how I know. It kind of goes with the because I said so category. When my kids ask me things sometimes, that's what I tell them. Why is it like that? Because I said so. And they just drop their heads and melt in disgust because they know I'm right. I'm never wrong. I'm not exactly right sometimes, but I'm never wrong. That's a joke, everybody. You can laugh. And feel free to use it and give it to other people. All right. But here's the deal. The deal is that this works for those who are Christians. You remember what we said in the beginning? Every detail of our lives continue woven together for those who have been called to fulfill His purpose. In other words, everything I just told you about being more than a conqueror, it only works if you're a Christian. If you're not in Christ, if you're not a little Christ, a Christian, if you're not of the way, whatever you want to look at, however you want to hear it, if you're not that, then it don't work for you. Bad English, I know. It doesn't work for you. It only works for the Christians. So if whatever I've read to you tonight, and you're like, I want that. I want a life like that. I want a life where I don't have to be miserable and sad. I don't want to have a life where I'm defeated all the time. I want a life where I know that there's a plan and purpose for me, and I want somebody to tell me, because God will tell you what the plan and purpose is for your life if you ask Him. You got to be saved. You got to be a Christian for this to work. Otherwise, you got nothing and you're on your own. So I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to become a Christian, to become part of Christ's family, to become my brother or my sister in Christ. And then we can walk this thing out together. We can be that woven fabric together. I don't care where you are, where you came from, what you did. It makes no difference to me. I only know that what happens from here on. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say a prayer. Now, like I said before, you're going to pray. You're going to pray from your heart with your mouth out loud. Because with your mouth, confession's made. And like I said, God gives you a voice because He wants to hear what you got to say. So go ahead, repeat this after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, I believe that You died for me. Jesus, I believe that You rose again for me. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost and a hunger for the things of God. Give me a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, I am saved. I'm born again. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, I want you to reach out to us. You can find our website and everything and all the links that are attached to this audio file. You can find it right in there. Reach out to us. Let us know. I want to know that you just got saved. I want to know that you're now a brother or a sister. And I want to encourage you in this, no matter what happens in life, no matter what happens, I always, always, always want you to run to God and never away from Him. If you think you screwed up, don't run away from God and try and hide, because that's what you'll feel inside. I got to get away from God. I just screwed up too much. No, wrong. Run right to Him. Because if you can run right to Him, He's there with His open arms telling you that He does have an amazing plan for your life. And then it's okay. He forgives you when you repent. When you ask for forgiveness, that's repentance. When you ask for forgiveness, look, I've done wrong, Lord. I'm sorry. Then He is quick and just to forgive you. The Bible says that your sins are as far as the east is from the west. That He actually cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, He doesn't remember anything that you've done wrong in your past. And when you ask Him to forgive you, if you make the mistake, if you miss the mark and you ask Him to forgive you, He'll forgive you and throw it right in that sea. It doesn't give you a free pass to go and do wrong on purpose, because that's not a repentant heart. That's not a heart that wants forgiveness. But when you want forgiveness and you don't want to do the nonsense, then He'll forgive you and help you through it. So always run to Him in Jesus' name. Well, welcome to the family. I'm glad you're here. Continue to tune into these whenever we put them up. You'll be blessed because I give it to you right out of the Word. And we'll be covering a lot more things and going more and more in-depth. That's why I called it Dig a Little Deeper, is because I want you to get a little more in-depth of everything and every plan and purpose that God has for your life and be able to walk it out. That's my goal, is to get Christians to do that. My goal is to get people saved. But after you get saved, I want you to live in victory. So that's why I taught this way tonight. And if you're listening, you've been listening for a little while, or you just started listening, and you like what we're doing, and you want to join us financially, by all means, follow it in the link, and you can and give into what we're doing here. We travel and we minister. We just got a building, and we're getting it all together to have offices there and do outreach from there. So we have a building for that, and we got a couple other things going on. I've just been talking to a few other people, and we'll be traveling and ministering too. So you get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of the people that we get saved. Whenever you put your finances into kingdom things, you actually become a part of what that person's doing. So by all means, please join us in that. Put money into what we're doing here. Or if you got other things you want to give, we're able to work with that too. Just get a hold of us and let us know what you have going on. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do, do that, no more and no less. That's the nature of giving. That's how we work it when we give out of what we're doing. And we give into other ministries too, ones that are further ahead. Why? Because I want to be a part of what they're doing. I want to be a part of the harvest of people that they're bringing in. Because the currency of heaven are people. So by all means, please join with us. We'd love to have you on board with us. Let me pray for you before you go. Father, I thank you for all these wonderful people that are listening. I thank you, Lord, that you bless them. Father, I thank you that you settle in their spirit, which will settle it in their head, that they are more than conquerors and that they live a life in victory as they follow you. And Father, for those that just got saved, I thank you that they've entered into the family and I pray blessing over them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that for each and every person listening, that you put a hunger and a desire for more of your word so that they can get closer to you and experience more of your presence in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, I love you. If you're going to bed, sleep well. If you just woke up, I pray you have the best day you've had. No more down days, only up days from here, in Jesus' name. Love you all. God bless you. Bye-bye. Mwah.